In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
We brought Sal on early because it's not five, clearly. But we asked Sal to join us at four today because there's a hockey game tonight. And we've got picks, and we've got other things to do.
And it's thoughts. The day after a game.
And Sal is probably about ready to go to bed. I don't know. What time did you get home? What's your day like so far?
Yeah, so thanks. Well, that won't be happening. I have an event after this to go to anyway, so this worked out better for me. I have to MC an event tonight. So for our buddies at Northland Workforce Training Center, actually, I'll be doing that tonight. Part of their award ceremony every year, so I'm really honored to be a part of that. That's tonight, so I've been trying to get a little bit of rest today, but just not happening, guys. I got back. We landed last night, the plane did, at 4:15 a.m. Got home, settled in around 5 a.m., had to be on the radio with Jeremy. Jeremy gave me a little grace period. I asked him, can I go on at 9? Actually did BEN at 8:20. Jeremy at 9 did the extra point show 10 to 12. Sean McDermott at 1 p.m. And now here we are.
4:15. Is that even late for a game like this, or is that normal? Like, is that about what it should have been?
It's about, I think it was scheduled for about 4 p.m., maybe 15 minutes later than what we anticipated. But it's a long flight. People always think of East Coast, West Coast being long flight.
Yeah, it's three,
it's one
right?
of the longer flights the Bills take. Yeah, it's a three-hour flight, essentially. I think it's 2:40, I think, is what it basically is, but yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for fitting us in. What kind of game was it for you? I'm just really, a couple things. The pressure that maybe the fans felt about this season, for all the different reasons we spent all summer talking about, I would think has largely come off. I mean, they have started with two wins. The Dolphins may be in trouble. The Jets looked pretty bad on Monday. I mean, what a great kind of a dream start to the season for the Bills in these 2 weeks so far. And I'm really just sort of in awe of the numbers from this game. Allen throwing for 130 and not running. 45 plays is one of the lowest numbers of plays run in a Bills win ever. And they won by three touchdowns against a team that went into the game favored. Incredible.
I like how you put that, Mike. I really do. I heard you say that at the top of the show. It's a good way to put it. The pressure of a lot of what we've talked about is kind of off. You're like, we've said for how long? Boy, this team needs to get off to a good start because that schedule's pretty daunting. And the way I've framed over the last couple of weeks is, man, if you can get to 2-0 at the very least, right, you think you should beat Jacksonville, you'll be favored, and that would be a disappointment now. But I guess more than anything, if you're 2-1 going after the first three games, I think you can live with that, right? Well, now you have a chance to be 3-0 after the first 3 weeks. And I just think optimism is super high after what we've seen. You know, the game for me last night, what it was like, was exactly that, which is really kind of stress-free from they have this in hand. Even when Miami came down the field and scored. Now, 7-7, you're like, okay, all it takes is one bad turnover by the Bills. Something can happen here to kind of swing it, and then what are we looking at? Once the Bills took a 10-7 lead and then had the ball, honestly, like I'm like, they have this game in control. Like they're gonna do what they can do to control the rest of this game. I was expecting low scoring, but the Bills to be in control. And then, of course, they just blew it open with a couple of different plays. The pick six really kind of blew it open. It was the perfect scenario for the Bills to not rely on Josh Allen due to his hand, to put him in any compromising position. Don't have him have to take any unnecessary shots, get him out of the game. Von Miller doesn't have to play a ton of snaps. Everything that you could possibly ask, it was really kind of the perfect script for the Buffalo Bills to go into Miami. It was a really, really job well done all around.
There's so many different exit ramps I want to take off of the main highway here. But on the defense, maybe the first thing that I want to at least talk about with you is McDermott and Babich and the job that they did on this Miami team with all of the, all that speed. You know, we're talking before the game that I'm expecting Miami to get theirs, right? The Bills are compromised. They've got injuries. I'm going into this game. I've got sixth-round picks at corner and safety. UB street free agents replacing Teron Johnson. I mean, it's just it's incredible, Sal. And not only do they get by, they dominated. I mean, they just manhandled Miami.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the word or words masterclass being thrown around a lot last night by media and social media, and it's really what it was. I mean, the Bills just had an answer for everything the Miami Dolphins did defensively. And once again, here we go for a team that's losing parts left and right and just plugging and playing guys who understand their roles and know their systems. What have we said for years? Sean McDermott's defense is so much about the sum and not the parts. It's about a unit, understanding their roles, understanding what is expected of them. Yes, you're going to have a drop-off from a starter to a reserve. But those reserves are still going to understand and be prepared. They're going to be ready. And when you have guys like last week, we talked about Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram. And I said, hey, the good news is at least they had a little bit of an on-ramp here to get ready for this Miami game. And sure enough, I mean, they were some of the superstars last night. Bulldog, I thought about you. I specifically watched Rasul Douglas against Tyreek Hill up at the line of scrimmage, getting his hands into him, rerouting him a little bit. Like the things that you talked about, that good job on you. Like that's one of the things they did to be able to kind of disrupt that timing a little bit. And I'll tell you, I think the Dolphins are spooked by the Bills. I'm watching. They are doing things with Tyreek Hill to just try to manufacture ways to hit get in the ball. Not that they don't normally do that, but I think they don't think they can get on the ball downfield, guys. They take a one deep shot after that. It is, nope, sorry, can't do it. Got to put him in motion. Got to put it out here, a swing pass. They just can't get on the ball. And I think Mike McDaniel's like, I just can't do it. Sean McDermott takes him away. What am I supposed to do? They throw their hands up in the air. It's unbelievable. There are so many different storylines, as you said. One of the things that came up in the Extra Point show today, and I try to reiterate, is what one of the reasons the Bills have been able to do this is the consistency of the organization being together, which is head coach, GM, scouting staff, coaches. The Bills have been drafting with the short and long-term vision in mind. When you go from Chan Gailey to Doug Marrone to Rex Ryan to Sean McDermott and Doug Whaley to Brandon, you have to always be changing around your philosophy and what kind of defense you want to run. Jamarcus Ingram has been here 3 years. They don't get him to where he is today if they don't have the consistency of a long-term plan. Cam Lewis has been here 6 years. He isn't able to do what he was able to do last night if he's not a part of an organizational vision for what they want him to be. And I just think that is so key and crucial in what every organization dreams of.
I can't think of anything that would have made you think of me. Last thing, I'm racking my brain, like music, the cool end zones. I don't know what it would have been.
I got it.
How big the nameplates were on the back of the Miami jerseys.
The Miami jerseys. I got it. HN, you took him out of your lineup. That might be the one thing where you thought of me.
I was just going to tell you that. I did think about that. I took HN out of my lineup for sure. I thought about you, Mike, with just the – I did. I thought about you and a lot of people with this with – the run-pass balance, how you want to control the game, throwing the ball, and, you know, just a lot of your mantras over the years. But the Bills didn't have to do that. The Bills just could rely on kind of the way that they want to play right now. But I will tell you, like, one of the concerns I still have coming out of this game is I look down and there's Keon Coleman, one target. It was a jump ball. There's Mac Hollins, no catches. There's Curtis Samuel, very limited time. The Bills did not have to rely on their wide receivers. I'm wondering what's going to happen in a game where a team says, we are going to make sure this team cannot run the football on us. We're going to force them to throw. Yes, you have Josh Allen, and for that reason, I'd be super optimistic, right? But I want to see that happen. I want to see how that looks.
Yeah, like that's completely right. I mean, it's not worth worrying about or complaining about at all yet. Allen's thrown 42 passes in two games. And last night, he didn't even run. You've mentioned the injury already, like perfect, you know, setup for him.
Yeah, the scariest moment of the whole game with him would have been the after Tua got hurt, I think, on the ensuing drive. He's still in, and he had to jump over the Miami bench. And I was like, okay, you can get out of the game now. I don't need you tearing a knee ligament, hurtling the bench in a game that you're winning by 21 points in the fourth quarter. Thanks.
But, of course, he did it flawlessly.
Right. Stuck the landing.
Sal, what was the stadium like when Tua went down?
Guys, it was very similar to the DeMar Hamlin situation. Now, I'm not going to compare the two, obviously, in the medical situation. But the reason I say that is it really did remind me. With DeMar, no one really knew what was happening, but everyone knew it was super serious, and it was just silence everywhere, and everybody was standing regardless of what color jersey you had on. With this situation, everyone was standing in silence regardless of what color jersey you had on, but you knew as soon as it happened, and that's why. Because as soon as it happened, everyone knew, oh my God, that's Tua. And then he had he stayed on, just him to stay on the ground.
Yeah.
I think was immediately like that. And then when you had the posturing with the arm, it was just very, very reminiscent and somber. And there were lots of Dolphins fans wearing their teal jerseys, lots of Bills fans wearing their blue and red jerseys. And everyone was just kind of watching to see what was happening and understand. I think the gravity of that situation was immediately recognized by 60,000+ people.
Yeah, I was stunned when they came back from commercial to see him walking. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, you know, abundance of caution and all that. I mean, good. I'm sure that he was, it was safe to do that, but just the way it looked when they went to commercial, I was expecting the whole, you know, the whole operation with the
like the Bengals.
Yeah, right.
Not Hamlin, but Tua in Cincinnati.
Right, the backboard and the whole thing, like just to be really careful. Just a brutal thing to watch happen. Miami lost a game, but the bigger loss here, I mean, he matters a lot, obviously. He led the league in passing yards last year. I mean, it's a very tough situation, and you know, moving forward, what happens with him? Can he come back? Does he want to come back? This is just a lot. They got to feel like just they're in turmoil right now, Miami.
Yeah, and I actually wonder, I wouldn't be surprised, guys, I don't know this, I wouldn't be surprised if they pluck Mike White back
into a practice squad. Yes, I was just about to say that, yes.
Right, because he knows the offense, obviously, but we'll see. They have Tim Boyle, maybe they feel that he's been there long enough, they'd rather just kind of elevate him, and then if there's only a practice squad opening, I don't think Mike White would leave the Bills to go do that, but who knows. People in Miami, I was talking with some of their, you know, fans or media, and people were wondering about Ryan Tannehill, he's still out there. I think there's still a process here to wait to see where they go with all of this, but certainly, you know, to it. And I mean, just, you know, for me in general, guys, like you know, I mean, I love this sport. I love this game. And I have a hard time reconciling sometimes, right? I really do, because it's such a great game. I love it so much. But then when things like that happen, it like kind of brings back all the things that everyone says are so, I don't know, wrong or tough about the sport.
Yeah.
And yet here we are trying to make it as safe as possible. We're doing a lot of great things. Football people, right? USA Football, everybody on the front ends of kind of trying to say, look, what can we do to make the game safer for everybody involved, from kids to, you know, professionals. And when something like that happens, it's a lot of the stuff we've talked about for the last 10, 15 years, and the CTE and the concussions and the movie that comes out and the lawsuits and all those kinds of things. It's very hard for me to see that and kind of recognize and reconcile, like I said, all of those things. And as you, Bulldog, you have a son who's a young, you know, high level athlete. I know he's had a couple concussions in his life, and you know what that's like. And it's hard to see. It really is. And you just hope and the human element just comes so much into play when you look at it.
Yeah, I said earlier, so I was watching with Owen last night, and it was tough. I mean, we both were. It was tough.
It wasn't even much of a play.
Right. It's so hard to see something like that happen. One other name to keep in mind, our buddy Armando Salguero tweeted about this earlier today. I think Jimmy Garoppolo has, there's a trail of breadcrumbs to McDaniel from San Francisco, and he's serving a 2-game suspension, which I think will be up after this weekend. So maybe that's a name to keep an eye on. He's not anywhere, I don't think,
Rams.
Right now.
No, he's not a free agent.
He is on the Rams. Okay.
I think, unless they cut him.
Okay, I didn't
I think
know.
He's with the Rams.
Real quick, guys. Yep. I'm glad you the hit. The other part about this whole thing was and Jeff Darlington brought this up on SportsCenter. It wasn't my original thought, and I said, oh my God, right? You think about it like that. That's Tua's head.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
DeMar's chest. And Roger Goodell is in the building.
That was a big part of it watching with Owen was that yeah. when we noticed it was Hamlin, too. It was just, you know, just the optics of that.
That's right.
Really dramatic.
Sal, the Bills lose Terrell Bernard here. I mean, another big development. They roll anyway, but is this going to be weeks? Before you answer, please allow me to say the injury report brought to you by the Barnes firm. The Barnes injury report, in fact, we're calling it. Car crash for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION.
Well, the bad news is they're losing Terrell Bernard for multiple weeks, and that's a huge, huge, significant blow to this team. The good news is it could have been a lot worse. I mean, last year, Daquan Jones tore his pectoral muscle and missed 12 games. From what the reports are right now, it is not that type of injury. He should miss about a month. Even Sean McDermott told us earlier today on Zoom he'll miss multiple weeks. They're still having discussions if he should even go on IR.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, encouraging from that standpoint. What does it mean on defense? Well, Bailyn Spector, I thought, played a good game. He had a couple of times where he was a tiny bit slow in his reaction, but I think, you know, that goes with kind of playing Miami, coming in the game, seeing everything, making sure you don't make a mistake. He also just, I think the coverage, especially some zone coverage stuff, those are things he's going to have to clean up a little bit. But Bailyn Spector is a good tackler. He's a good middle linebacker. He understands the system. So he can play there. And if for all everybody waiting for Joe Andreessen to play, I would think Joe Andreessen's time would be next week to suit up. That is what it would point to me. He's the next up middle linebacker. So I would think, you know, that's the case here. We'll see where they go without Bernard. But, man, without Bernard and Milano, you know, Jacksonville and then Baltimore and whatever weeks are coming up here after this, these teams are going to be studying these guys at linebacker for the Bills. And they're going to try and take advantage of them as much as they can. But here come – hey, I mean, honestly, I just wouldn't be surprised at this point if Sean McDermott called you guys up to play linebacker.
I would.
You go out there and have 10 tackles and they win.
I got a big wingspan, but my athleticism has seen better days. So that's not a phone call he should make. Spector, I thought, got better as the game went on. Early, the touchdown, he got sort of frozen. Right? Kind of leaned the wrong way and just sort of stuck there and needed to get out there in the flat. I don't know if him getting there could have prevented it. It looked like a pretty well-designed play. So I understand him getting frozen. I mean, that's the idea. Teams are going to try to confuse you, and that happened there.
Yep.
Real quick, Sal, Von Miller. I mean, last week was not just a fluke. The sack, the pressures, I mean, he looks all the way back to me.
If the Bills were playing a team that did not have that rhythmic, quick passing game and a quarterback that held on to it a little bit longer, I think Von Miller has multiple sacks in this game. The sack that he did get, he just blew by.
Yep.
The right tackle, right? I mean, oh my gosh. But guys, I mean, he's been kind of doing this now for 2 weeks. He's winning his one-on-ones. If you want to know Von Miller's back, just look at his one-on-one reps. He's winning his one-on-one battles, I think, almost the majority of the time, it seems like. Not every play goes his way. Not every play is going to be a sack opportunity. But that's how I think you can determine that he's back, so to speak. But, again, perfect scenario. He did not have to play the full game. They got in a position, in a situation where, you know, they could kind of take a little load off him, a little bit load management. Now you have 11 days. That's going to be the key going forward here. And if they can do that to keep him healthy for a 17-game season and fresh.
And how about Cole Bishop with a pass breakup? I mean, I know it didn't matter to the final outcome of the game, but still a nice play for the rookie. You know, he's going to get to play six plays in this game, and one of them ends up being a pass breakup in the end zone.
I know people will look at snap counts and go like, all right, well, yeah, six plays, cleanup duty. Those six reps are important to Cole Bishop. They're very important to the Buffalo Bills. Anytime young players can get reps to see it in real action and live action, those count. Those help a lot. They give a little baseline, which you can see on film. They allow them to get into it a little bit. Those reps are very, very important. And I'll give you another one. Jamarcus Ingram moved to nickel corner late in the game. Like, now, here you got this guy who's shown his flexibility. He's a boundary corner who gets forced to play dime, and look at the game he had. It was unbelievable. And at the end of the game, he's playing a little nickel corner, right? That's a little sneaky of, okay, let's make sure he's comfortable there in case something happens to Cam Lewis over the next couple of weeks.
Sal, enjoy your event tonight. Thanks for staying awake and hanging out with us here.
You got it, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, please. Send my regards to the Northland Workforce Training folks. Leo spent last fall and spring there, so I can vouch for it. Good deal.
Yeah, that's great. They're great people. They've been great to me. Looking forward to tonight. Yep. Thanks, guys.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. His appearances with us always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Before we started talking to Sal, I sent Bulldog a taunt on the ESPN Fantasy.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
See, app, you can do that now.
I don't seem to be able to. I'm my dad trying to program the VCR.
Then what good was it?
I don't know. I can't seem to access the chat. I don't know where it is.
It'll hit you when you least expect it.
Oh, great. Well, I can look forward to that.
Now they have a thing now, like if your player scores a touchdown, you can send a taunt. And so I did. Cost nothing. Taunt sent is the notification I got. Literally, that's the what it said at the bottom of the screen. Taunt sent for the HN touchdown. Kenneth Walker, doubtful for Seattle in their game at New England. That should be, you know, Zach Charbonnet becomes playable if you've got him on your bench, but doesn't look good for Walker, an excellent running back there with the Seahawks. Seattle at New England Sunday. Lines are open once again for you, 803-0550. How about that? I mean, all the nervousness about this roster and just like what the season would be, tough schedule at the start, the Bills get through Arizona, then blast Miami, and the Jets looking the way they did, couldn't really have started better for the Bills here in 2 weeks. We will be back in a snap. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. It's brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Awesome, Patrick. He's been working hard. You know, each year he's gotten better. Seems like each week he's getting more comfortable and confident. You know, he's been begging for some goal line runs, and we gave it to him. And he got his touchdown down there, the long one, and then he found a way on that the first touchdown in the first quarter there. So can't be more happier for him and more proud of him. And you know, he just continues to make plays for us.
James Cook, the story of the night, offensively at least for the Bills. That would be his first three touchdown game in the NFL. He had two in the win last year against Dallas, where he racked up a huge stat line, over 200 total yards in that game. But three last night, the Bills over the Dolphins smoothly, 31-10. We'll see what the future is for Tua and Miami. They have a trip to Seattle in week three, whereas, again, the Bills host Jacksonville a week from Monday night. Football Friday on WGR continues. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. It is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Bulldog, I'm thinking of doing that on Sunday because I got nothing.
Do it up. I stopped at Crosby's right before I came here.
How about that? Look at you. Not even a game day. It's a Sabres game day.
That's
quote
right.
Sabres.
That's right. I'm pre-gaming.
That's it.
Yeah, not really.
Let's go to Matt here. Hi, Matt.
Hey guys, lifelong Bills fan here, driving from Louisville to where I live now, Milwaukee and Indiana, sitting nice. In Indiana. I appreciate Shope's inference in the lifelong, and as you guys go into Indiana, here I am sitting here.
There it is.
So to avoid just calling about serendipity, I thought I'd cook up a couple points that I haven't heard yet. First one being, I don't understand why up three scores, I'm scared about Christian Wilkins and Josh curdling benches in the fourth quarter. And second, I can't remember another time where someone was ruled out of a game and then gets one touch, let alone almost 30. I have to imagine that that can't be kosher with the, you know, CBA and all that stuff. Kind of the reverse of what happened with Christian McCaffrey the other day. So just can't remember another instance like that. Thought that might be interesting to talk about.
HN. Well, not ruled out, but questionable.
He was questionable, and so I don't know. I mean, got, you know, I trust that they know what they're doing, but it was curious. You know, the Allen thing, it's 31-10, and there's, what, 12 minutes to go? Is it the fourth quarter even yet? Like, I get it. It's you know, that team can score fast, and I know their quarterback was out of the game. People were upset about it already before he hurdled the bench. The moment for me, and that's why you would be worried about it, is because you're worried something weird is going to happen. And then it almost did, and that was the moment for me. Like, okay, you need to shut this down. I don't need to see any more of this. But I can understand not wanting to pull that trigger too early. Because you just don't know. I mean, you know, you turn it over quickly, they score, and it's suddenly a 14-point game, and there's 8 minutes left, and, like, that's still a game. So I think they were just trying to, you know, make sure they didn't put themselves in a jackpot there. You know, the downside is, you know, you could suffer an injury. I was also alarmed at a point, like, okay, we can just, you know, put them in the bubble wrap.
No Wilkins in the game last night, by the way.
Right, yeah, he's on Las Vegas now. So you don't have to worry about him doing anything dirty to Allen.
Storm Duck potentially could have. He played.
Storm Duck. I missed Storm Duck.
Played four snaps.
That's a real guy?
Yes. So with Matthew Collar on his podcast, the bit is every week, because he doesn't know, like, all the depth chart guys on all the teams.
Right.
So I make up a name every week, and he has to identify the fake name.
Oh, I love this.
But Storm Duck is a real person. DB, I think, for Miami. And if you go to Pro Football Reference, and, you know, you'll see, you know, the big letters, Storm Duck. And then after that, it's the player's real name, like Joshua Patrick Allen or whatever. And under it says Storm Duck. That's his full real name.
That's his full real name.
Yes.
There's no shortening of that.
You can't do it any shorter.
This is like NFL player name fact or fiction. I love it.
Storm Duck is fact.
Good.
Brian is next. Hi, Brian.
Gentlemen, I don't know if you've been talking about this. I apologize if you have, because I haven't been listening. But
we have.
I've been a fan for, I'm sure you have. But look, I'm 50-something. I've been a fan since forever, since the 80s. Well, since OJ, really. But that defense, I don't know if it's Babich, his influence, but as far as talent, certainly they're not as talented as they've ever been. There's not even a question of that. That, however, was the most tenacious, most aggressive, most urgent defense I've seen ever from a Bills team. I mean, it started out with Rasul Douglas, the first series, everywhere, all over the place, just attacking, and it just carried on from there. I mean, they were attacking everyone, not just kind of waiting, and they were literally going forward on every chance they had and attacking guys and chopping them down, and I was very, very pleasantly surprised, because I thought the defense was going to have a problem this year, and then they have some more injuries, and then then they lose Bernard, and then it's like, okay, but Spector played good. It looks like most of the defense shed some weight in the offseason. I'm not sure if that's true. Douglas looks like he lost 10 pounds, and he's a ball of muscle, and I was super impressed with the defense more than anything. I don't know what you guys thought.
Yes. Definitely right. I mean, it was. We just talked with Sal about it, and he referenced how people on social media are using the word masterclass, or the phrasing masterclass. And like, look, I it's hard to poke holes in that. I mean, you know, you can you know, get stuck trying to validate how you felt going into the game. I mean, I'll say a few more times probably today, I thought Miami would move the ball on them. You know, I look at who they are and what they've got there, and you consider what they've lost, not just in the offseason, but since the football started in the summer. You know, Milano is that, now Bernard is that, the safeties, it's just, you know, it feels like it's going to be thin, and all they do is really throttle one of the elite offenses in the NFL. I mean, you can probably come back at me with Miami isn't that elite when they play top shelf teams. And, you know, that is largely true. Their record against good teams, against playoff teams, is horrible. The record against this team, which has been a playoff team here for 5 years running, has been horrible.
I've heard it's bad.
Yeah. So it's almost the same. I think they're 1-11 against teams with winning records, and their record against the Bills now in 13 games is 1-12. I mean, they just can't get out of their own way when they play a tougher team. So there is that, but I mean, I'm just super impressed. It wasn't a one-off. Like, Tyreek Hill does not catch big passes against this team. He has not, since he's been in Miami, caught a pass longer than 23 yards against the Bills. That's stunning. I mean, that's the biggest play receiver in the game.
I think that's all fine and fair. The Bills deserve all the credit, and so does McDermott. Tua was lost last night, and that game for me going into it was more about the Dolphins than the Bills. Here is the Dolphins' next good chance to show the football world that they're not the same Dolphins, that they're actually good enough to beat the Bills and beat a good team. And right away, like, the pick on the first drive was just not even close. You know, he didn't get the ball to Hill and Waddle. He's throwing to guys I've never heard of. Not only Matt would have not heard of Grant Dubose, I'm pretty sure, but like who? So I think it can be both things. It usually is in football, in sports, right? I mean, give the Bills credit. They're responsible for generating that pressure, that confusion, all of that. But also, my goodness, like this guy needed to just make sure Hill and Waddle, with Achan clearly healthy enough to contribute, that happened. The fact that Jonnu Smith was involved is fine, but it just felt like a fallback option when Mike McDaniel, for all the credit he gets, collectively, the Dolphins just did not do that. And I said the same thing about Murray, so make sure I don't just say this every week. But you can't have that. You can't have this big of a game or any game go along where Hill and Waddle, they're just kind of like laughing on the sideline by the third quarter, you know, like just they yeah. didn't even need to be there.
Well, taking them away, I give the Bills the, yes, Tua's confused. Why is he confused? Because they took away Hill and Waddle. And like, now I got to go. What did we talk about on the pregame show? You know, disrupt, take that first read away, and that gives your pass rush a little more time, and that this guy does not have the arm to just put it anywhere he wants anytime he wants. So if he's got to reload, you're already winning. Like, if he has to pause for just that beat to reconsider where he's going, you're already ahead. And they did that. I mean, Sal's talking about Douglas disrupting Hill like that. I give the Bills the credit for that myself. And I think they earned it. So, and again, it's not just a one-off. Like, they've done a job on those guys when they play them on balance. Achan was really the only thing Jonnu Smith was kind of annoying. Because, like, who's this big guy nine is my reaction when I see him running with the
who's
ball.
Big
like,
nine?
Oh, yeah, big nine. That's Jonnu Smith. But Achan, there was room there. Like, I had friends texting me, like, why don't they just keep running it? Like, because they're Miami. They've got Hill and Waddle, and they want to try to get that off. But Achan was like 7 yards a carry. It was there for them, but, you know, the score got too crooked eventually for them to keep doing it. But
well, there was a big sequence before the game got stupid. Like, you had Achan had a big run. It's 17-7 at this point, the late second quarter. It's still very much a game. Achan for 17, Achan for 5, Achan for 4, 3rd-and-1, Alec Ingold -1, Tua sack.
Right.
And the next play is Cook scoring again. He ran for touchdowns on back-to-back plays. Bills snaps, Cook. And there's the ball game. You know, like,
yep.
That's where, again, due credit to the Bills defense, that's where McDaniel and Tua have to earn their money. All right, so A-Chain is affording you, you're ahead of the sticks, right? As they say, like you're getting into good situations, but what's worse than third and one on the plus side of the field and you have two plays and you can't make it? Running the fullback inside is for like Rex Ryan. That come on, you're Mike McDaniel. And Tua is not going to escape.
Right.
So you don't have the cheat code that the Bills do and that a lot of other teams do, but still, you know, like, figure out some new clever way to get, even take a shot down the field. You want to get Hill and it's, I make it sound so easy, but you want to get Tyreek Hill to catch a pass that's longer than 23 yards. He's Tyreek Hill. Like, there you go. Third and one at the 44. You got to keep up with Josh Allen. Are you willing to try? No.
Fullback.
Sack. Good night.
Yeah.
Like, they're just not, they're the Dolphins. They're always just still the Dolphins. Where even with all the narrative stuff about motivation and stakes and try to prove a new identity and all that stuff that looks like garbage, because they walked in and they're just the same.
They don't have it.
They couldn't handle the Bills up front. And then here's a chance where, okay, this is where this coach everybody loves and this quarterback, you know, people want to see him succeed. He'll waddle like the name of the game. They didn't bother. Like, those guys did not get a target on that drive. 17-7. Now you're down 10 points. And it's getting real. And just, you know, that's all right. And we've had, I think of all the Bills teams, I said the same thing last week, I know, but with the Cardinals. We have all those Bills teams that were like that. That just, you're playing New England, and you're an underdog, and you're trying to prove that things are different. And I don't care. I'm just going to run it. That's what I believe in. We'll lose, but maybe it'll be close, and people will respect it. And that just sucks so much, you know? Like, imagine a Miami fan, finally, like, maybe it's different now. And then you lose the quarterback later.
On top of it all, yeah.
Just, you know, act like you notice that something needs to be different, Miami. And they just, you know, maybe the fullback will get us the yard and then we'll have first and 10 and try it again. Just very wimpy. Not how you want to prove yourself against the class of the teams that are the class of the league. It's not only the Bills, but just not good enough. 803-0550, Football Friday on WGR. I'm sure you did get it and are just toying with me, but did you get that taunt yet?
Honest to God, I have no. I even looked.
That's what I would say.
I logged in on my phone because I looked on my iPad. I have two Apple devices. And I thought, well, maybe I'll be able to find it on my phone. I don't know. I can't.
I'm going to have to re-taunt you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you might just be taunting the air.
I think I'm taunting myself.
I don't know.
That's the genius of it.
Yeah.
That's the taunt of it.
Yeah.
I'm self-taunting.
Maybe if I try to taunt you, then it'll unlock.
You
the
have
whole
to
thing.
Get a touchdown first.
Yeah.
You ever hear anybody say that? How did you learn to do? I'm self-taunt.
Wait, I can't taunt. I can't just.
No.
I can't just send you a middle finger emoji or something.
No. ESPN Fantasy, you have to get a touchdown from one of your guys, and then you can send me the taunt, which I did with A-Chan.
Yeah,
but
maybe it only was available for some finite amount of time while the game was going on. Was this last night that you sent me the taunt?
No, like three.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on. I have no. I can't find the taunt section.
You must have like an ad blocker, a taunt blocker.
Well, aren't I smart?
I want one of those.
Yeah,
I want a taunt blocker.
No, I mean league chat. That's just a bunch of Depew Yard Dogs waiver wire moves. Nothing against Dave Buchanan, but
what's he doing making moves? It's too early.
It might have been from earlier in the week. I don't know. You mean in the season? Yeah, I don't know.
You only get eight.
Yeah. So I got nothing there. I don't know. I'm almost at. I'll hand you my phone. Here, you navigate the app and see if you can
and
find
then,
it.
Then I will get it, but then I'll be taunting myself again. Well, I'll just be getting taunted by me.
What kind of fun is that?
It's the worst.
Yeah. I don't know.
Nice little 28 points. A lot of fantasy last night was rough. I mean, even Allen. What is this? 130 yards and two rushing yards?
Right.
What is that? You can't have that. He's QB1. Coleman was a stone zero. Kincaid, Shakir, okay, I guess. Cook and Achan.
No one else. Those are your people.
Not even Tyreek or Waddle or Tua. No one else. Cook and Achan. That was it. That was the DFS ticket right there, the two running backs. We will look for your calls again after sports. Thoughts on last night's win. 5:30 for picks. 6 o'clock, we'll have Sean McDermott from earlier today. And then the Quote Sabres, the Prospects Challenge tonight at Harbor Center and tomorrow and Monday. Thanks for being with us. Football Friday continues next here on WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.